Welcome to Toss the Titles Down Under Dynasty with your hosts at Life from the Ben and with me as usual, finally, my co-host at FF Door, Matt. How are you today, Matt?
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well. Good to be on the air with you again. It's been a long time between drinks, but here we are.
I couldn't get a hold of this guy after he went on the Podathon. Just didn't want to have anything to do with me. His fame just went up there. It's like, come on, let's podcast. And he too big for you.
When you get a prime time 3 a.m. slot like mine, come see me. Come into my office, right? Big rollers, right after the other guys. Yeah, look, I can't go into air, but yeah, just push it up a little bit more than that. I think Scott Fish must have lost a bet or something to put me on the. On the Podathon. Don't what happened there, but I put the SOS out for my host, but he was nowhere to be seen. I couldn't get a hold of him.
I was indisposed, my friend.
You were indisposed.
So apologies, but just between COVID, getting COVID, and work's been really crazy at the moment, and just haven't been able to connect with my friend here. But we're back finally.
We're back. The boys are back.
The boys back in town. So look, it's been a while, long while, and we were doing our consensus rankings, but we're gonna, skip those for this episode, and we'll be back to those soon. We've only got one episode left of that. We're gonna do wide receivers and tight ends in the one episode, but because it's been a while, we thought we'd just catch up and chit chat about the goings on in the NFL over the last. Well, it's been 4 or 5 weeks since our last show, and you're getting lots of kind of little training camp kind of. Well, training camps haven't opened yet, but like this off-season news just filtering through, guys going on the pup, and of course the Baker Mayfield trade that we all waited patiently to happen. So Matt, is that what we want to open with? Do we want to start with the Baker Mayfield trade? How we feel about it?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think let's do that. That's probably the biggest news of the off-season. It comes to mind anyway, recently, the past month or so.
Definitely the biggest news since we have last podcast.
I like it. I think it's good. I think it's a good fit. I'm glad he got a chance to start. I think he's already got to be locked in as a starter or he's going to win it. I think he'll have a massive chip in his shoulder. And he was injured all last year. So I'm still a fan. I'm glad he's got a new team. Remains to be seen how viable he's going to be for fantasy, but yeah, good on him. It's good to see. Just can't wait for those ads to come out again.
What do you think of the cost for the Panthers? So the Browns will receive a fourth or a fifth round pick in 24, depending on Mayfield's playing time.
Absolutely bargain.
So you'd have to pay 70% of the snaps for that pick to be a fourth round pick. And how much did they end up having to pay him? Do you know?
I did see the figures. He took a pay cut, right? He took a fair bit of a pay cut to go there.
Well, I don't think he could technically have taken a pay cut. He had a small amount of money convert to incentives.
Yeah.
I'm assuming unlikely incentives, but I don't know.
Yeah, I did see that he took a pay cut somewhere, but yeah, I saw that it came around back in incentives. Haven't seen the details, but yeah, look, I think it's an absolute bargain. I think, to your right, if he walks after a year or two, you get that comp pick. So maybe that you pay a fourth and you get a third back or something in a couple of years. But I think, it's for that risk, it's so low, right? To get someone of his caliber who is possibly, a starting quarterback, possibly. I'm not saying he's, he's Tom Brady and like that, but a franchise starting quarterback, you could build around him, you set him up with a good team, he could win you a few games, get you the playoffs. So look, I think that's fine. You got to pump the wheels and see what you get out of him, and if it doesn't work, you pay a lot less than what Indy did for Wentz, right? Like, it's a no brainer.
It's a lot less. I still don't know. I think I'd still prefer Wentz to Baker. Not at that cost, though. I prefer the cost of Baker. I mean, and they're only paying him $4.85 million, whereas Wentz is getting $28 million.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It's at the cost, isn't it? That you'd buy the Baker. Wentz is, you know, much of a muchness really, but yeah, it's that cost, I think, that likes him. How does it affect DJ Moore for you? I know you're a big DJ Moore fan. How do you rate him now with that?
I don't know how Mayfield's going to go in this offense. I don't really have any idea of, you know, I think that DJ Moore's floor is, you know, like last season is probably still his floor, and now his upside's a little bit higher depending on what Baker Mayfield we see, right? I think that he has to play well, right? I mean, you talk about comp pick if he leaves, but he's got to sign a decent contract with another team for them to get a comp pick for him, right? And if rules out, if he doesn't play well, rules out, then where's Baker? I mean,
if he doesn't play well, he's a backup, right? Like, this is his...
I mean, even if he plays decently, right? Even if he passes for 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 12 picks. I mean, where are they in the standings? Because he's probably got to take this team to the playoffs to secure his future as Carolina Panther. Would you agree with that?
He's got to be able to sell a story, I think. It's either got to be playoffs or, you know, he had a good season, but there was this. I think he's got to sell a bit of a story. Look, I don't know if he will do it. I think he can do it. I think they're a sneaky, okay side. CMC stays fit.
The Panthers have told Corral that he's still the future, according to news reports.
Yeah, I think I read that he's not likely to get a snap at all this year. Which is probably good, right?
It's probably good for him.
Not the fact he's not going to get snapped, but just give that year without pressure, right? Just learn the system. That's probably what you want to develop new quarterbacks. You know, Trey Lance had a little bit of time, right? But not a lot. And I think it's good just to sit there for a year, learn the system.
See, that's an underrated aspect of this trade. I think it's sneaky good for Matt Corral because Baker's probably going to be good enough that they're not going to be picking, you know, high in the 2023 draft. Like they're not going to be in the Bryce Young, CJ Stroud sweepstakes, right?
No.
Unless the wheels completely do something unforeseen that I don't think will happen. They're not going to be in those sweepstakes, right? And so that's why I think that, you know, a year for Corral to sit on the bench, maybe bulk up a little bit because he's a twig of a player. I think this is, a sneaky, sneaky good thing for him. We talked about DJ Moore. What do you think this means for DJ Moore?
Yeah, look, I like it. I think it's an improvement from Sam Darnold. I don't think it moves him into wide receiver one territory yet, but it could. You just don't know with these quarterbacks or wide receivers, right? A lot of it is chemistry. Look at the change to Dak, to Dez when Tony Romo left and Dak Prescott came on, and they just didn't get on, right? Same as OBJ and Mayfield. They just didn't get on as soon as Mayfield left. Obviously, the quarterback was bit of an improvement.
As soon as OBJ left, Mayfield didn't leave?
Yeah, sorry, as soon as OBJ left. I thought I said OBJ left. Rewind it back, people. Anyway, yeah, look, as soon as OBJ left, you know, he got that quarterback improvement, obviously, too. But he just seemed to gel a lot more. And, you know, so just that chemistry that you just don't know, right? Like, so if they can, you know, hit that chemistry and maybe they just make it work, then I think it could be wheels up for DJ Moore. But, you know, it's an improvement. I think it's better than Darnold.
It's
pretty sad.
I mean, I could say it can't be worse. I mean, Darnold looked promising the first few games, and then as soon as the offensive line fell to pieces, he just fell apart completely. And, you know, a great quarterback should be able to make something happen outside of their offensive line. They should be able to do something. Everyone's falling apart. I think Sam Darnold's dead in the water.
Yeah. You got to show us something, right? Like, games, but you got to show us something. I think some teammates in my leagues that traded for him in the off season were pretty happy early on. Like you said, after the first two games, looked great, but Yeah, he just fell in a hole.
Yeah.
He'll bounce around the league and probably make, you know, $100 million as a backup somewhere. Tough life for him, but yeah, you know, I can't see him being a starter anywhere, really.
No, I think it's done for him. And how about C-Mac?
Yeah, look, hopefully he can stay injury free, right? That's all we need to see. I don't think he's injury prone. I think he just, you know, he's had a few issues. Baker with C-Mac, yeah, look, you know, I'll probably ease off a little bit off him. I don't think it's got that much of an impact, really, Baker to Darnold. Maybe a, you know, better quarterback play improves his chances a little bit, but he's high enough. You can't push him up a tier, I think, for me. How about you, Benny?
No, I think C-Mac's going to – I think he's going to have a monster year. Yeah, I think he'll be back. I think he'll – no, I hope he'll stay healthy. I think he'll have a really big year.
Think any changes from Darnold to Baker?
Old prediction.
Yeah. But how, like the quarterback change, do you think that affects him in any way? I can't really see a massive effect from changing quarterbacks there, right? Just
not for C-Mac. The guy's a stud, right?
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he's a stud. And with Mayfield definitely gone for the Browns, if Watson's suspended, when Watson's suspended, sorry, how do you feel about Jacoby Brissett and what he means for the Browns skill position players?
Oh, he's solid, right? He's solid quarterback. He's dependable. They can go 500 with his when he's there. They'll be happy depending on how long Watson's out for. It's much of a muchness, really, for, you know, an injured Baker to an uninjured Jacoby.
It's a very different team than last year, right? Landry's gone. Beckham's gone. Amari Cooper's the wide receiver one. Who's wide receiver two? Is it David Bell? Is it DPJ?
Run first offense, right? Like, they're just going to run a lot, I think. So, for me, it's not a massive difference. What about you?
It's not a massive difference from Baker, not from an injured Baker. But, I mean, how do you feel about Amari Cooper with Deshaun Watson versus Amari Cooper with Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, you're just biding your time, right? Redraft is different, but if we're playing Dynasty, maybe you can get a bit of a discount on these guys and come week 6 or week 8 or week 10 or week 12 or playoffs, Deshaun comes in and turns them around, even if it's a year, right? Like,
so is there anybody on the – like, when the suspension comes and people are underwhelmed because Brissett is the starter, is there anyone on the Browns that – you'd want to try and buy for when Watson comes back?
I think you want to do it now, right, to make that move, because you're not going to get a massive discount once you know the suspension.
Yeah.
Not massively. I don't think there's that much of a buy now window. I think most owners will be thinking Deshaun comes back. Whether he does or not, it's a different thing, but I think a lot of people will. What about you, Benny? Got your eyes on someone?
Yeah, DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
He's a 2 for you?
I think he ends up being 2-3. They're going to have 3. I think they'll have 3 wide receivers on the field enough. I just love his athleticism and his profile. He was the number one wide receiver in his college, in his high school class. Went to Michigan. They never make the most. Like, they're going through a period of time where top players were going there, DPJ, Nico Collins, Tariq Black, and they just did not develop these guys. And straight away, DPJ showed more in the pros than what he ever did in college. And I just think him with Watson, it will be a match made in heaven. And he's somebody that I'd be looking to buy. And also David Njoku. I mean, maybe that's a bit of a no-brainer based off the contract he got off the Browns recently. I think it was like 4 years, $56 million. It was fair change.
Hooper moved on to, didn't he?
Hooper's gone.
Yeah.
Hunter Bryant. Is it Hunter? Which Bryant is it? Harrison Bryant. Harrison Bryant is still there. He had a solid rookie season. He was a really good tight end in college. He won that award. What's the college tight end award? The Mackey Award. I think he was a Mackey Award winner.
Take your word for it.
I hope so. I thought I was going to look like a fair dickhead. But
nothing's new, mate. Come on.
But, I mean, on a per-snap basis, Njoku, the last 2 years, ironically, after they signed Hooper, has been fantastic. So if he plays more, I think there's significant upside there.
Well, I think there is. I don't know if you're going to get a discount. That's the only thing, right? Because People just waiting for the Sean. It's
probably too late for Njoku, right?
To come in. Yeah, look, you know, you're not going to have to pay overs to get him, but I don't know if you get a discount. But, yeah, look, I like that. Maybe someone's asleep at the wheel, not paying attention. They could be thinking the worst for Deshaun. But since he's settled those lawsuits and you already see it floating around, you know, I think PFF or someone was saying that it looks like a 2-8 game suspension. So
yeah, if there's
not
no
not long but in fantasy.
If there's no suspension at all, the NFL can't appeal. Do you think the NFL could possibly appeal the suspension if they don't like it and then Goodell would rule on it?
They could, right? And they could put him on the commissioner's exempt list for, you know, bringing the league into disrepute or something. You know, maybe he didn't. There's no crime that he can be found guilty of, but, you know, he did have some disreputable behavior, supposedly, allegedly. So that's something that they could do, right?
But do you think they would do it? Do you think they would appeal to Goodell? I mean, this process that they have with is it Susan? What's her name? Susan Robinson or Susan Porter?
Yeah, it's a Susan.
I can't remember.
Retired. She's a retired judge, right?
She is a retired judge.
Yeah.
Should have looked this up prior to the show, but I'm a bit disorganized with this having been our. It's Susan Robinson. Susan L. Robinson.
Yeah,
Our first show in a while. So, my apologies, people. I mean, they collectively this new process was collectively bargained for. So, I don't think it'd be a great look for the league if they appealed this and then this Goodell brought down the hammer. I think the NFLPA would lose their shit. So, I don't think they would do it. But I was just curious on your take.
Yeah, look, who knows? You just don't know what's going to happen, right? I can't predict that with the commissioner and the league and whatnot. And if he doesn't get suspension, that's not a good look too, right? So I think
he'll definitely get something.
He's going to be messy either way, but yeah.
I think he'll get 6-8 games. And that's not what I think he deserves. That's what I think he will get. So I just want to clarify that with the people, right? I think that's what he will get.
Who's to say he doesn't settle his final four suits? And then if he's got no civil charges, it'd be hard to throw him out for multiple years. You know, and like you say, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. It's not, you know, what you deserve. It's just what you get sometimes, right? So if that does happen, if it's 6-8 games, that's not long in the dynasty landscape, is it really?
Nope. Not at all. Yeah. Let's move on from that conversation because I think we've all
Hurry up, NFL, make your decision.
Yeah, I know it's just taken way too long. So now, actually, we've got to talk about the chosen one to the Browns, Josh Rosen. Could he wrestle the starting job away from Deshaun?
Jacoby, maybe. Yeah, not Deshaun. Look, you know, he's not even taken it from Jacoby, but you know, if somehow Jacoby got injured, he gets a shot with a stacked team. Never know. I was never the biggest fan, but yeah, surely it's Jacoby's team, and he just hands the ball off and keeps steady. And if he doesn't get injured, you know, he's learnt the system. It'd be hard for Rosen to come in and win the starting role off Jacoby, let alone Deshaun. But yeah, there you go. Josh Rosen lives.
I'm still statue, mate. You can't pick him up on the legs I'm in. I'm still statue him on my rosters. So segue from Deshaun. If Deshaun, say, gets 6-8 games, how long can the league give Kamara? How long would they even want him to have, really? I mean, I know he's on video, like, assaulting somebody, but if his suspension is the same or more than Watson's, people will be up in arms, right?
They're already up in arms because he's going to get less than Ridley. So, yeah, look, you're 100% right. They will. I think the league will be pretty happy if, you know, the reports of Kamara not getting any sort of rulings until next year. I think that's something that they'd be pretty happy if that happens so they can distance themselves from any comparison. But it's going to happen, right? They're going to, whatever Watson gets, he's going to be compared to Calvin Ridley, betting on himself and Kamara, whatever happens to Kamara. So, yeah, it's a lot of unknowns, but, yeah, I think it doesn't nothing happens till next year by the looks of it, reading between the lines. What about you, mate?
That's a good call. I like that call. I agree with you.
Great minds.
Great minds. And so it was all over the internet the last couple of weeks. Fat Lenny. How are you feeling about Lenny Fournette for the upcoming season? Are you worried about this at all?
Nah, give him a break. I think it's great. I think sometimes it's good when the players get, you know, a little bit, they bulk up a little bit. Sometimes I think you can lose that explosiveness when you trim down. I think Zeke a couple of years ago was coming in super trim and just looked like he lost that explosiveness. You know, I think you still have that power and whatnot when you have a little bit of fat in you, and he's got the whole off season to go. Right, we're 45 days out. That'll come off real quick, I think. So I think it's, you know, it's not great, but you know, relax a bit. You know, let him live a bit.
I wouldn't be too concerned. The bloke probably loses 5 pounds when he takes a dump. All right. Like, I know I do. So I'm not concerned about Lenny. I think that this is a guy that you want to be acquiring for this upcoming season if you're a contender. Just production in relation to value, right? If he's somebody you get off a non-contender for, I think you could probably get him for a 23 second.
I think I bought him last year in the off-season for 23 second or towards the end of the season for that price. And yeah, I think that's I can't see you really selling him for first. Not a 23 first, right?
Maybe a 23 first. Maybe a future 24, 25 four. First in league to let you go that far.
I think that's a good call. I took him in the second round of the Toss the Title redraft, which I was pretty happy to get. I was sort of arm and arm for a little bit, but for redraft, I like his situation.
What's a redraft?
Yeah, well, to make it worse, it's a one quarterback too.
Yeah, I opted out of that league just because they're running it on sleeper, right? And I
got all excited the draft with the boys, and then jump in there, and then they change it to a one quarterback. My head went down a little bit. And now they're talking about changing it from a 12-hour clock to a 4-hour clock. So,
Justin, what are you doing? One quarter.
Yeah, what are you doing, Justin? Have a
what's wrong with you?
It's just not cricket. Now, I think Justin said that if a quarterback gets injured and it's a 16-teamer, you know, you're stuffed. But for me, it's the same as RB, right? You get it. You draft JT 101 and he gets injured, you're gone. So he's a big scared man, if you ask me.
Scared, Justin.
Scared of coffin lids and Superflex.
I think Lenny's going to be, he's got, you know, top six RB in his range of outcomes, is he? He's going to get a shitload of work. I'm not really concerned about Rashad White for this upcoming season. I mean, this team's Super Bowl or bust. They're not going to put a rookie out there in pass protection with a 46-year-old quarterback unless he's absolutely ready to do it.
Yeah, you know? I can't see Brady trusting a rookie either. He'd have to be perfect. They
got Fournette, they got Geo. I think White's got some nice potential for the future, but I think he's going to be firmly on the bench this year.
Yeah, unless there's an injury to Lenny, I think, it's probably the way to go. And they just run Lenny into the ground, right?
Yeah. No, he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to have the best year of his career. That's my... Do you want to... Bathroom Reddit?
Well, I'm with you, so I can't go against you. Let's find one of these redraft moments to go against.
All right. There's enough of them now.
I think Nino and Jared are pretty big on Rashad White, so they might be able to, they might want to get on the bathroom board there.
All right. We'll put it out there in the group chat, see if anybody buys it. CEH having his first real NFL offseason. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, what does this mean, mate? It
means hopefully I can cash in on my 101s that I took him with everywhere. Yeah, look, for me, it's...
Did you tell me? You were Team JT. You were never Team CEH.
Yeah, no, I didn't. So I moved him up over Swift. I had JT and took him, and then when he came back around, I had him or Swift, and I took him over Swift. I never would have, but just because of the landing spot. So... Yeah, look, hopefully, you know, this gives him a bit of a bump and you can move off, but I doubt it. I think he's still undervalued and this doesn't really change anything for me. I think we're talking off air, we pretty much think he's locked into a RB2, right? I can't see him being outside the RB2 range.
I think he'd be a low-end RB1, high-end RB2. I think that's possible for him.
Yeah.
With Tyreek Hill moving on, I think he could catch a lot more passes. I know they added a whole bunch of pass catches, but I see CH getting a lot of kind of that dump-off stuff that they were doing with Hill towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
And Nicole's still kind of been the speed guy.
Yeah. You know, he was banged up as well, right? So
yeah,
maybe it's true. He does get the offseason, don't know how much difference that makes. But yeah, either way, I think he's still a buy at the price.
And now on to another running back from the same draft class, J.K. Dobbins. There was some banter between him and Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport on Twitter, about Dobbins going on the pup and Dobbins saying, you know, you don't know what's going on with me. No one's come to me and asked me. How do you feel about Dobbins?
Love him. Love myself from Dobbins. I think on the SFB pod, which I'll probably try and drop that 3 or 4 times every episode that I'm on my segment at 3 a.m. on the SFB pod. I think he was my sneaky buy just because of that hype he's already getting. This is before he's pushing back. I just thought, you know, we just don't know. We just don't know. You know, with these injuries, how they're going to bounce back. So for me, it was always a bit of value because people fade him. And then when he comes out and does that, I loved it. I just love to see that. Just don't speak for me. You don't know nothing. You love to see it. I think it's great. So always been a big Dobbins fan. Got a lot of shares, so love it.
I love Dobbins, man. He was just so awesome in his rookie year. In the fairly limited role he had. This is a guy who, if he got the ball as much as JT, would just be right up there. Like, he's just awesome. And he's so fun to watch. He's just a great running back. And, you know, if he comes back healthy, and look, that's my one kind of concern. Like, a lot of players have needed a fair bit of time to not to get completely healthy, I guess. Like, they all come back after 1 year. But just to kind of round into form, like you saw it with Dalvin Cook when he got hurt.
It's going to take a minute.
Saquon last year as well, like coming back from his ACL, right? And I think Saquon will explode this year, but that's a story for another day. But that's my concern with Dobbins. He gets off to a bit of a slow start. But if he does, he's someone I'm probably going to be trying to buy. Because I just think
that's the move to make. The
upside is huge.
Yeah, that's the move to make. I don't know who they're playing early. Hopefully, they've got a bad draw. They're playing the Bucks or someone who's great at stopping the run. And he looks pretty ordinary, and you can jump all over that. You know, because all you want to see is him on the field. He's not going to be effective, right? It's going to take him. Well, same as Godwin. Godwin, they're talking about might be back week 1, but he's not going to be any good for a few weeks, right?
Well, look, you don't know. I mean, Adrian Peterson was back within a few months and then he won the MVP. But that Akers guy's came back that's a different animal.
Pretty quick, too. Yeah, just don't know. Akers came back. I think was it Russian gymnast came back in a couple of months. So, we just don't know, right?
Yeah.
But you just want to see him on a field, really. He's just on a field. Happy days.
And they've lost Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown. They haven't really replaced him. So there could be an opportunity to catch more passes in the backfield. And if anyone's catching passes out of that backfield, it's going to be Dobbins. It's not going to be Gus Edwards.
Yeah, Edwards is injured as well, right? You just got Davis. I think Davis is still floating around there. So, yeah, I think hopefully the people keep paying him because I'll be loading up for the shares.
Yep, 100. What else do we want to touch on? Well, look, the most recent thing, Kyler Murray's contract extension. What's this do for you? Does it have any bearing on his dynasty value for you?
Not for me. I think some people were sort of worried he was going to sit out. Even some people talking about, is he going to go to baseball and whatnot, which is, you know, laughable. But for me, not really. You know, no effect for me, really. I guess it's a vote of confidence. They could have just kept him for another 2 years without signing that contract. So you like to see it. But I don't think it makes a massive difference. Possibly, you know, sign him early is better sometimes. So maybe long term, it's better for the organization to lock him in.
Yeah, look, he's still in the same tier for me. He was in, to me, he was in that first tier of quarterbacks. That first tier for me being Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Murray, Lamar, they're all in one tier for me, for fantasy football. And
you don't have Allen. He's in the same tier as Allen for you. Allen's got to be like, it's a 1A, 1B tier. It's not a massive, but.
Yeah. But if you look at points per game, Kyler Murray's been right there with Josh Allen, except he's just worn down in the end of the season.
That's enough, I reckon, though. Yeah. 1A, 1B.
Look, Kyler, Allen and Mahomes are 1A and 1B for me, but I would have Murray. I'd actually have Murray third now, and I know a lot of people wouldn't do this, but I would take Murray over Herbert.
Yeah, that's where it's close enough for me. I think I've still got Herbert in front, but you know, it's you're splitting hairs really. So no massive change.
And what are you doing if you have Michael Thomas on your dynasty fantasy football team? What are you doing with him?
Hopefully, I've sold him already. He'll probably be back.
In this scenario, got him on the team.
I'm just holding and waiting till he. There's a rumor that he's coming back and selling him. That injury just seems to be hanging around. You know, just the spider senses sort of tingle. That maybe they didn't manage it too well, or what? Like, it is the off-season pup, right? They can come and leave as much as they want. Sometimes they just put them on there to make sort of roster moves and whatnot. So it's not really a massive game changer, but not anything you like to see, right? So normally I'm pretty risk, you know, I'm pretty happy to take on their risk, but just for whatever reason, I'm like I said, the spider senses tingle whenever I see that Michael Thomas and injury talk. So if I've got him, I'm holding until he looks like he's going to play, and then if I can cash out, get a fair price, I'd probably do that. I'd probably be happy to do that, I think. How about you, Benny?
Honestly, with his value right now, I would just hold for the upside. Just on the possibility that he winds back the clock to the 2020 season, and it's the 2020 Michael Thomas.
It's probably a good call. It probably is a good call. What are you going to get from that? Not much now.
You're not going to get anything for him. I'd rather just crap second. Out if he's not any. Would you eat, like the thing is, you're only going to get a contender second, right?
Yeah, you're not going to get an early second. It's going to be a late second.
Yeah, it's going to end up being a contender second. So I would just.
If that, you're probably going to have to throw something in as well, right?
Yeah, so, sorry, yeah. Not 2020. I mean 2019 Michael Thomas. Apologies. I'm just going to hold.
That's a pretty good call.
You know, I I'm not going to just. What's the late second going to do for me? I'd rather just hold, and in season, if you show something, you could probably get a contender's first, right? If he shows that he's even, you know, 80% of the player that he was.
Him and Winston, something could happen, right?
So I definitely just hold, and if I crap out and he just turns to dust, I'll happily do that rather than just take a late second. Just don't see the point, you know? If there's a team that has other teams' picks, I can get like a 201 to like a 204, maybe. Right.
Yeah, I doubt you get it there, right? I don't even get a 201.
No, not right now. No. Yeah. So, are all your rookie drafts done, Matt?
They're all done. Pretty sure they're all done.
Done
and dusted.
Is there any particular player you seem to have found yourself taking way too often, or is there? It doesn't need to be a guy stud in the first round, but you know. Yeah, around any round.
Not really. It's been a bit staggered all over the place. Maybe Ingram. Couple of shares of Ingram. And the Green Bay wide receiver. We're just talking about him off air. First rounder they took.
And where have you been taking him, Christian Watson?
Yeah, pretty late. Around the Sky Moore. Him or Sky Moore in a couple of drafts.
What, late first, early second? Is that?
Yeah, I think it was like 111. Mm-hmm. Just for that upside.
I got offered, and I accepted it, Darnell Mooney. So I had Darnell Mooney, and somebody sent me Christian Watson for Darnell Mooney. And I just like, fuck it. I'm just going to accept it because rookies are just fun. So
that's what we play for fun, right? We play for fun.
Right? So. And I wasn't in the draft. I didn't. I traded my first round pick. Why not? I had the depth, right? So I thought, you know, upside over, you know, Mooney's probably, like a mid-RB, mid-wide receiver two, I think. And there's like, somehow there's like 40 mid-wide receiver twos. So I'm just going to take that.
They don't matter, right? There's so many of them. Why not? Look, why not?
You can always trade for a solid wide receiver. I just bank on that upside, right? If they're not a top six, how much do they even matter?
They don't.
But one guy who has just fallen to me, and I've been just taking him time and time again, this guy in the fifth round, right, of, you know, IDP leagues that I'm in, is Tyquan Thornton from the Patriots, who has second round draft capital. Tyquan Thornton was the 50th overall pick. 50th overall pick. Higher than, like, some really good players, right? Higher than George Pickens. I think he got higher draft capital than Sky Moore.
It's a no-brainer, right? It's an absolute no-brainer.
People for Sky Moore.
Early second round pick. I think that's, you know. You're not taking him in the third, right? You're taking him in the fourth or fifth. Yeah, I think I've got a share too.
Fourth or fifth round?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
He's not going to break any rookie records or anything, but he's a flyer, and he could break rookie
records. You don't know that yet. All right. Slowly roll.
Not in that system.
But that's higher draft capital than DK Metcalf got. Higher draft capital than AJ Brown got when those guys came out. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, look, it's a value, right? Fourth or fifth. You're not taking him in a third, but fourth, fifth. I think I took a couple of shares late too, just because of that capital. You know, they're locked in there at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So give me a year or two and it could be an absolute steal.
Maybe. Yeah. Tyquan to Mac Jones. Mac Jones to Tyquan. You know, connection for the next decade.
Could happen.
I forgot what I was going to say. Just totally left my brain.
What about, bit of talk, Breece Hall already taking all the RB1 looks. I think, you know, obviously it was a given, but I think people are still wondering whether it's going to be Michael Carter in there, but it's already happened that he's locked in as an RB1.
I got to say, because I have a problem, Breece Hall makes the 101 in Frankenstein such an advantage. Such an advantage. Because you're getting like a stud RB. It's going to be like he'll probably be an RB1 just based off volume that he gets. All right. They've got a solid line. At worst, he'll be a low end RB2, but he's going to be, you know, top. He's going to be top 15 in that position. Such a huge advantage. All right.
He's going to win your weeks. He's going to win your weeks, right? For sure.
Yeah. I think that he's going to be frigging awesome. And then, if you get him, it's like getting an extra first round pick in the startup. Because it's not a startup in the draft.
Yep,
it's crazy.
It's a monster. It's a monster of a format. Don't start me. It's a fun league. It's for fun. I think Alex O got the 101 again. Don't know how that happened, but he's got the 101.
The winner of the rock paper scissors choosing the whole order. We're gonna talk about that, John. I don't like that.
I came third. I think I won didn't get a bye. I won three rounds. I come third, and then I got no advantage. So not happy, Jan. Not happy at all.
Okay, so is Treylon Burks' asthma issues the 2022 version of Jamar Chase can't catch the ball?
Yeah, it is. Yep, 100%. Yeah, I remember that. Everyone remembers that clip, right, where they got that one catch and they sort of spliced it and screwed it and chopped it and changed it. And yeah, it is 100%. It's the Jamar Chase can't catch.
And you still as high on Treylon Burks as you were earlier, well, really last year?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, nothing really changed for me. Nothing's changed at all. It's just, let's give him some time. Let's see how he looks on the field.
Yeah, look, I think he'll produce. But, you know, I had to make Drake London my RB1 once I really looked at him.
Wide receiver.
Yeah, my wide receiver one, sorry. Once I really dove into him and his the numbers he puts up, and he's such a great route runner, he's really, really unique. I don't think that people are really speaking about how unique he is. You know, people make the Mike, the Tampa Bay wide receiver. I can't say his name.
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans. The Mike Evans comparison. People make the, you know, but he's a much better route runner than what Mike Evans, you know, was in college. And I would say his route running's like right up there. Not that I'm an expert or anything.
You are. You're an analyst.
Sounds
like we need a bathroom bit. Breakfast, London.
Like he had over 1,000 yards in 8 games. In 8 games.
It's just a shame. Mariota is his quarterback. That's, you know.
Yeah, but, you know.
Over just for 6 games.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about
bathroom bit.
But Treylon Burks versus Drake Leonard?
Let's do it.
I'll take total fantasy points.
Total fantasy points.
Right. On the board, I'm taking Drake London, you're taking Treylon Burks.
Let's do it.
And just on that, how do you feel about Desmond Ridder? Do you think he's anything? I mean, you look at the numbers of third round quarterbacks who have produced, and it's pretty ugly.
Yeah, I've never really been. I don't buy into those stats. You know, I know that I've seen them all, but I just, for me, it's everyone's different. Every third round is different. So, I'm not sure if I'm a massive fan for fantasy, but he's got that potential to be a solid starter in real life. He's probably ahead of Mariota, right?
Mariota
will start. Mariota will probably start, but I think long term, the Ridders got to get his shot, right?
Straight after the NFL draft, those guys were probably going too high because people didn't adjust. And in my drafts that were, you know, a little bit after the NFL draft, people adjusted more. Did you find that as well?
Well, you mean people faded them a bit more?
I mean, yeah, faded them more. So initially, right after the NFL draft, like the rookie drafts that happened really quickly, I found people probably didn't adjust quite enough for the. Based off the draft capital that they got, they probably didn't fall far enough. Yeah,
it's probably fair enough to say. I think people just sort of overlooked it, maybe a bit of take lock.
Now I think there's probably been a little bit of almost an overcorrection in some places, like later on. I mean, all those like those guys are in decent situations to at least get a shot at some point, and. To me, that's all you really want, right?
You got Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and who knows what that team looks like next year, right? If he's getting his late couple of games this year, and then they improve a bit next year, as long as they don't take a quarterback, it's worth it. I think it's worth a shot.
Yep,
for the price you're paying in a super flex.
But I did trade Desmond Ridder, and I can't remember if we've talked about it. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. Well, let's talk about it again. So I traded Desmond Ridder, a 23 first, which was last year's champion, though he came, I think he got into the playoffs from the sixth spot. He was a sixth or fifth seed, I think. And I traded a 23 second for Justin Fields. So Desmond Ridder, 23 first, champs 23 first, and a 23 second for Justin Fields.
So late first, second, and Ridder for Fields. Look, you know, I think you thought you paid a fair bit at the time. I think that's a fair price for Fields. I still am a massive fan.
I'm a big fan, and like before this trade, so I made this trade. So at the time, this guy didn't have a secure QB2, right, in the Superflex League. He had Deshaun Watson. A tanking team traded him Pat Mahomes for Deshaun Watson and a bunch of players, other guys. And that's when I made the trade.
Yeah, I saw that. Look, yeah, I like it. I think it's a good trade. It's not a steal. I think it's a fair trade. It's a good price both ways. But yeah. I think that's fair enough. I think, you know, that's probably the cheapest he's going to be for a long time. I think Justin Fields.
Yeah, I think he's going to put up a lot of points this year, regardless of how good he's you know, stat sheet is passing. I think he's going to put up a lot of points. I think you'll see how resilient Justin Fields is. And people talk about, now obviously the receiving depth chart isn't great. But just say next year they add a stud, you know, like wide receiver one level prospect, and everybody then moves down one peg. Mooney's the wide receiver two, commits the third option instead of the second option. All of a sudden, what was a weak wide receiver corpse is a strong wide receiver corpse. It just takes one player.
Maybe they sign a veteran to, you know, you just don't know, right? Some of the moves that the team's made, look what the Eagles did with a couple of signings. So, yeah, we just don't know what we don't know. The Bills, a couple of years ago, came out and thrown it 6,000 times overnight from nothing to just exploding. So, you know, anything can change. Nothing's concrete. So, yeah, I think, like I said, I'm a big fan of Fields. So, yeah, he's not going to be cheaper than that.
And last news, we'll end with a bang. It's really a puttering. Geno Smith or Drew Lock, who do you think starts for the Seahawks?
Look, I thought all offseason it was going to be Lock, but the chatter is the player with a perfect passing rating game, Geno Smith, he has got that in his resume. I think he had a perfect game against, I think it might be, can't remember, but before he got his jaw break in the locker room at the Jets, he had that one good game. It looks like it's going to be Geno Smith. I hope it's not. I hope it's Drew Lock, but it looks like it's probably going to be Geno.
I know, but the thing is, you can go from Geno Smith to Drew Lock. You can't, and it's hard to go like.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If they start with Drew Lock and then they go to Geno Smith, it's over for Drew Lock, right? It's gone. It's finished,
it's
right?
Bad.
Whereas if they start with Geno Smith and they go to Drew Lock, because maybe, you know, Geno's been in the system a few years, he knows it better. Maybe then Drew Lock captures up and takes a job at some point. I still think that, you know, he's so cheap, Drew Lock. He's somebody I'd be trying to get if I can get him for a third round pick in Superflex, which I think you could do, right? Especially if Geno wins the job.
It's a smash accept third rounder. I'd give a third rounder for Drew Lock for sure. With that, Lockett and Metcalf.
The tools are there.
Yeah, tools are there. He's gonna sling it and not much pressure. They don't need to win, right? So.
Not at all. So is there anything else you want to touch on before we wrap it up?
I think that's it. I think we've got 45 days till the season starts. Training camp's just around the corner, so it's going to be pretty exciting. How about you, Benny?
No, I've got nothing else to discuss. I'm just looking forward to knocking out our last consensus rankings episode. And then, you know, the preseason will be here, and before we know it, the regular season will be here.
Bring on those 3 a.m. games.
No. Have you got your Game Pass renewal yet?
It came through. I think it renews 1st of August, but it did come through the Game Pass notice. So happy days.
What country are you living in?
I'm in Australia. What are you talking about? It's okay for paying with rupees, isn't it?
Yes, it is, sir. Yes, it is.
No, I'm not paying $400 for something that someone else pays $100 for. That's criminal.
It's all about cost of living, mate. It's all about cost of living. All right. Anyway, at some point we had two people join into this live stream. I'd like to say thank you to those two people. And thanks to everybody who ends up watching and listening to this. Have a great week. Peace out, Matt.
Ciao.